You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Invasion of Privacy Podcast. I'm Joe Santagato.
I'm Kate Wolf.
Today we have a special guest who's never been here before.
Sarah Armour.
Woo! Yeah.
Isn't that how you say love? Or well, that's amour. That's amour.
There's no R.
Yeah.
Isn't it
But it's pretty isn't close.
It's amore. Close. Every time I
isn't
see
there like a thing on it?
Oh yeah. When amore. It's ooh. Hello, but, Italian dude. Yeah.
But not amore.
Say it again.
That's fucking just American.
I butcher beautiful accents. That's what I do.
Well, yeah. There's like amore and there's like amor. And like I'm just like
armor. Oh, mi amor. Yeah, that's Spanish, I think.
Yeah. Amore.
You just sound like a guy who's drunk.
Well, like Forever 21 always had like all different shirts. Like graphic tees are really in that say amor. And I always just want to go vandalize all of them, put a little R and like sarahr.com. Like, I just want
to
like.
That would be awesome. You need to buy one of the shirts and just do that for
R-more.
Yourself.
I just want to make them all just say my name.
That would be pretty awesome. Yeah. Get that shirt, Sarah.
Maybe I will. I don't know.
By the way, everyone, Sarah is a very talented, funny comedian.
Thanks.
Seriously. Check her out. Do you have stuff on YouTube at all or no?
I do have stuff on YouTube, but you know, we have a lot of questions.
We're about to get into
a lot of questions for Joe about YouTube, but
some YouTube questions for
I do
for Joe.
I'm ready.
I do have stuff on YouTube and I
Is it like your stand up?
I have some stand up, some stories, some like old sketches. I don't usually take things down, so like and I went to film school starting in 2007, so there's like content on the internet floating around that I made like from many moons ago, but I and I don't take it down because like it's part of what I made, you know. I don't really care, but it's very very bad. And a few things.
How long have you been doing comedy for?
Well, I've been doing stand up for like 3 years, but I've been.
Oh my
doing...
god, you've come so far in 3 years.
Thanks.
Sarah.
Thanks. I know, it's kind of crazy. I actually
that's
have.
Nuts.
You know, I like really am hard on myself when I beat myself up, and my therapist yesterday was like, I don't understand, like what. Why are you so hard on yourself? And I was like, I am successful. But I don't feel successful. And I, you know.
She's killing it. She's killing the game.
Yeah?
I think like relatively. Like I don't think
no,
I'm killing
she
it,
is.
But I think I'm killing it like
you're,
for my.
Yes, you are.
I've had a fast. But it's not really, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 3 years, but I did improv before that, and I went to film school. I mean, I've always been doing
hey,
comedy.
Stop finding reasons to be hard on yourself.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm just. Where
You're
I am
great.
In my journey.
You're great.
I'm great. I'm good enough.
Joe, you've just been making fun teasing me for the last half hour. Huh? Is that what's happening? What's going on in there? What happened in your childhood that's making you do this?
Yeah, that's her theory also. Like, if you make fun, not make fun, but if you do anything.
Everything's linked to a
She's always like,
thing.
Well, you know, as a kid, his uncle probably grabbed his leg and he was scared. I don't know.
She's very forgiving. It's how she forgives the world.
Childhood.
Really
okay, let's get
back.
Let's get into these questions you have for Joe, because he's the I do put out YouTube videos, but not with the same success as Joe Santagato.
You got to start somewhere, though.
Thank you. I actually stopped making my own videos because I'm putting my efforts into the one I'm doing with Michael Blaustein.
I love Michael Blaustein.
I love him. We have one called Box and Cox. It's under his YouTube channel. Cute. I actually love them. I'm putting way more heart and time into those than I was doing my own, so that's why I kind of started doing that.
Okay, so that's like the whole thing though, right? Like in order for your YouTube video or any content, like YouTube is just the way that we view the content, so
right.
We're calling it YouTube videos. But what it is content. It's just like videos people to ingest, right? TV mm-hmm. shows, and they're just small. And if you're going to do them, you really have to put your heart into it. You really have to like love the content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every time I have started a video project, and this is, you know, I don't really mean to put all my stuff on you guys, but like since I, you know, I've written countless scripts and I don't produce any of them. And the ones that I have produced, I've hated. And I've made videos in earnest and then I hate them. And I know that the answer, I mean, yes, like watch the Ira Glass thing over and over. Remember you begin somewhere, blah, 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 blah. But there is something so vulnerable to me about the practice of filmmaking and you know, content production, because like I was saying downstairs, like when I'm on stage, if I'm doing stand-up or even doing improv or even presenting or coaching or whatever, I'm in the moment, and so I can always be correcting. I'm always like, you know, fighting a little bit, mm-hmm. right? If you put a video online, like, that's just like your best effort, and it's just what it is.
You feel way more exposed putting the video out there.
And it shows your taste, and it shows your, like, your skill level, and it shows how expansive you're willing to think. And, like, if someone only saw one thing that you did, it's like this video online, and you don't really know how to edit, and you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like when it comes to YouTube videos, and then sometimes I get stuck because I'm like, oh, I'll do this idea, and then I look it up just to see what else exists, and it's like, it exists in every form already. I have no good ideas. And so I when it comes to making YouTube videos, and I have clients all the time who want to make content.
Oh, tell them what you do.
Oh, I'm also a life coach. My day job is that I'm a life coach, and I work with entrepreneurs and creative individuals to create their lives. So it's not only their lives, but it's mostly creative people. So it's like their lives and also their projects. So yeah. It's like I have a client who's a novelist. I have a client who's like a fitness expert and trying to build a fitness career. And I have a lot of coach clients and comic clients and whatever. So performer clients. And I always am like, create a breakthrough in vulnerability, create a breakthrough in not attachment. And I talk all this bullshit, and then I'm like, no, I'm so protective of my ego. I will not put up bad content, and I would rather die than put up like a bad video.
It sounds like, yeah, it's linked to perfectionism for you.
Totally, which is so stupid, and like, I know better.
But I have that where like there's been times like I try to put out a video I put out a video once a week. So once a week, you know, I'm talking about something new and just trying to make it as funny as possible, usually around 3 minutes. And
His are really funny, Sarah.
So the format of yours is like you're doing talking head, and like then there are graphics, and there are
not really.
You'll sometimes do a little bit of
sometimes, like for the most.
We should have showed you one of his videos.
I'm
before.
Sorry that I'm not like I'm the worst guest. I have
no. We should have showed you actually.
It's better that you haven't actually. But for the most part, I just stand in front of my camera and say what I have to say, and just edit it together. There have been times where I've shot insert sketches, to go over what I'm saying, like my mm-hmm. like a voiceover almost. And there's not like crazy graphics that pop up. Sometimes there are, like a picture maybe, but right. Like for the most part, there's like majority of the videos, it's just me talking, and that's all.
He'll do really funny. Here, I'm momming it up for you again. He'll do really funny, like he'll put on a wig. So if he talks about a girl being like, and then this girl will be all annoying, it'll cut to him in like a different area of the room wearing a wig with a great act out though. Well, I mean, I can't think of an example, but he'll be like, oh my God, and da da da. But it's really, it's funny. And that's the thing though, like the one I do with Michael, when I did it by myself, I was looking at Joe's and I was like, remember I'd text him and I'd be like, mine aren't as good as yours. But when I do it with Michael, for whatever reason, it clicks more or something. Yeah, like it's more.
Well, you're able to feed off someone else's energy, so it's it makes you feel better. Like when you see someone else smile or like their eyes light up.
When it's just you looking into a camera and you're by yourself,
right?
It's a little more unnerving.
You just kind of have to feel like me. I feel like, I know how to make this funny. Like I'll make like I know what right. to say. You know what I mean? So it's like you kind of have to have that.
Well, and you probably feel proficient in the technology. Like, I think a big part of it is that, like...
Well, I wasn't, and I still don't feel very, like, whatever.
Really?
It's
really good, though.
But, in the beginning, like, if you watch the first video I ever made in the format that I'm doing
and
now...
And how long have you been doing this?
3 years.
Okay, so if I go back 3 years ago and look at your first videos...
Yeah.
What will I see?
The content, like, they're infuriating when I watch them, because the content is there, and it's good content, but it wasn't delivered... as well as like if I could do that video now, it'd be so much better,
right?
And the editing's off, and just like my tone of voice is whatever, but it's like you get better as you go along,
right?
Obviously, it's just I don't know, it's just you figure it out. I feel like, but you have to just do it.
Yeah, but I guess I feel like with stand-up, like I feel the same way about stand-up. Like if I were to when I listen back to sets or when I look at videos, I'm like, oh man, I thought I was so good, I was so bad. But it doesn't matter because it's kind of like gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And like if it does, it's in a recording and it's like just for me. But I feel like the internet is like this big, scary. I mean, of course, it's so easy to just get lost in the mix. So if you make a bad video, it doesn't really matter. But like,
and you can always delete it later too,
right? Like, that's true.
Like Joe, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for him to go back and delete because his have so many views at this point, right. But you could,
right?
For me, like if I have an old video that only got like 400 views and I don't like it anymore, it's
right.
gone.
There's no reason for it to be there.
Yeah, no. But I
disagree.
I
don't know.
I just, you feel like leaving it?
I'll leave anything. Like I've put out videos that didn't do well. Like I'm that's stupid to say, but like a video, you know, a video to me that doesn't do well will have like 50,000 views on it.
I hate you so
no,
much.
But like. But listen, in like
he's a different conversation, but yeah, yeah.
No, I know,
like,
what you're saying. Yes.
But like, I'm not going to be like, oh, that video did bad, so I'm just going to fucking, you know. So when which 50,000 is bad compared to like what they should do. You know what I mean? That means that people sort of like, eh, I'm not going to tell anyone about it. So it's like, it's still the same
right,
thing.
Right, right, right. So when 3 years ago you started your videos, and even if you were getting 50,000 views or whatever, what was your intention of the videos? Were you hired to make the videos? Were you just making them and then you got found? How are you getting? 50,000 is an outstanding. I mean, I get like 40 views and I'm like, people know who I am. You know, like it's, I'm like 50,000. That sounds like fucking like right. An empire to me.
If like when I first started, I when I was younger, it's funny because there was a night where me and my family were watching old home videos and my mom had a rocket launcher camera. You remember those?
Yeah.
The fucking
yeah.
big ass ones?
Totally.
So you had that like a fucking periscope that you had to look through to like film or whatever?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She had one of those and I always fucking loved it. Like I just loved it. And we were watching the videos and I was like 4. And she'd be filming and I'd just come out of nowhere into frame and I'd be like, can I film? Like whatever. It's just like weird to think about it now. And then when I was like 11, I begged my parents to get me like a camera. And they gave me this camera that recorded on cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to edit, I had to rewind and just record over it.
Right.
And me and my friend made the worst videos ever, but we would make like sketches and just like dumb shit like that. And I did that, and then eventually I got a camera, and I was just like, it was like a camcorder, and it had one of those reversible screens, so I could like see myself for the first time. And one day I just had it, and I was just like, fuck it, I got shit to say. It was the first video I made was a, it's called A Talk About Sluts or something like that, and it was just.
Say.
You know,
that shit to say about sluts.
Yeah, so I was like, because I saw like
I definitely flinched. My heart flinched when he said that in
a bad
way. I was like, Joey, no,
right.
Joey.
Right. See, so I did something like that, and it's a bad video. Like looking back on it, like I was like a younger minded person, so it was just kind of like I was just saying a bunch of shit
right.
that like I wouldn't say now.
Is it still up?
Yeah, it's still up.
I should definitely go watch.
Yeah,
that
100%.
One.
Go watch it.
Even though you've never come to a show, but whatever.
Yeah. It's
you've never seen my comedy.
Kind of rude.
So hurtful.
I put that video out. Not with the intention of this is what I'm gonna do. It was just kind of like I just like this is something that I've always done. I like doing it. Wow, my voice cracked. I am 11 again. This
you're
is something
channeling
I like
that
doing.
Energy.
There's a lot of adult women in here. So
we're intimidating him.
Yeah, it's okay.
So yeah, I just did it because it was like. Fun. I was like, fuck it. So I made it and then I put it on Facebook and it got like 30 likes and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just do another one. And it just so happens that I did one a week from the last time and it was about Facebook. And it was like 8 minutes long though, like, which is not, you know, I don't advise anyone to make an 8 minute video. No one's gonna sit there. What is going on right now?
Keep going.
But anyway.
You're speaking your truth, Joey. Let it out.
So,
even if your voice cracks.
It was like 8 minutes long, and I did that. And then, you know, that got 30 likes too, whatever. And it just kind of, you know, whatever. And I didn't have a video that went viral or anything. It just slowly
built.
Progressed. Yeah.
And now he'll get recognized on the street a lot.
Wow. He's,
yeah.
Yeah,
and so how did
strange.
It transition into becoming like your job? Is that your job now?
No, I am a producer at Elite Daily right now.
But that's what you do. You're making videos.
Right.
But could you make a decent amount of money just doing your YouTube videos now? Using sponsors?
Yeah, for sure. Most of the money that I make is from brands and stuff like that. Like if I
incorporate
them.
And this bitch, I'm like, when? I just want to be in one video with you. I just think the fans want it.
The fans
want it.
You make mostly it seem like they, I tell you no. I really
well,
don't.
You know what? You give me a day and I'm coming over and doing this.
But here's the deal.
The fans
all right?
want it.
We're making
the
magic
fans
happen.
Want it.
Here's the deal.
Fans, are you going to really let down the world?
I haven't pre-planned a video in 2 years.
Dude.
And I ran out of topics 2 years ago.
We don't need to pre-plan, dude.
I don't know what I'm doing
for
next.
Spur of the moment.
I don't know what I'm doing for Tuesday.
I will come over and you'll say, Kate, we're talking about this, and we will make it hilarious. One time.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't have an idea. I don't have ideas until I have to. I'm backed into a corner. Like,
so you're gonna have to trust that the day that you tell Kate to show up, you guys together are gonna come up with the idea. Like, you're gonna have the idea, and it's gonna be for
everyone
two,
listening. I need you to tweet at Joe Santagato about how badly you want this hot collab to happen.
There's a hot collab on the table right now. Yeah. We need your help.
Hot collab on the table. Who ordered the hot collab?
There's a hot collab here for two.
But yeah,
this needs to happen already.
Kate, I'm not saying no.
Yeah, but you're also not saying yes.
Because I can't say yes, because then that's like almost like a promise. Because the way I film my videos is Tuesday, I just fucking do them, like,
okay,
all
guess,
in one day, because I'm backed into
in
a corner.
In 3 weeks, because that's when Shane's out of school, Shane and Kate are popping up in Queens.
Good Lord.
And we're going to be like, yo, Santa Gots, let's do this.
All right.
Shane's going to be the one that gets the most famous out of all of it. That's going to be
That's what happens.
Joe just edits everything I say out, and it's just him and Shane.
There's like a clue of you being like, hi. Kate's in my video. Check it out.
I'll tell you what, I did a comedy show this past Monday. It was for an organization, NAMI, N-A-M-I. It's to promote awareness and money for people with mental illness.
Mm.
And but I went, and it was a family-friendly comedy show. Shane was with me, and he went on stage and told two jokes. But it was, they're amazing. They're so intense.
That's so funny.
He's only 8 and a half, but he went on there, and he was talking about how, he's like, my biggest fear... He goes, I'm scared of getting older, not because I'm scared of death, but because I'm scared of watching my wife give birth. And then he went this thing. And everyone was just like, what's happening?
Oh my God.
That's my boy. That's my baby boy.
That is so funny.
He's brilliant. He is just
awesome.
And then he told the story, which actually happened, where we were driving and a song he loves comes on. And he goes, this is going to be my wedding song. And I was like, okay. And he goes, Mom, who do you think I should marry? And I was like, I don't know. You have time. You'll figure it out. And he's like, do you think I should join a dating website? And I was like, I guess. And he goes, you know what I'm going to put in my search? He goes, I'm going to search for spiritual, vegetarian, and loves Call of Duty and Halo. And I was like, you are the funniest
thing
this kid
in the world. Those were his jokes. He talked about both of those.
And those are great jokes.
Yeah, he kills it. He's killing life. Go
wow.
Shane.
How old is he?
He'll be 9 in August.
Whoa, cool.
You know what I was doing at 9?
What?
Not a fucking thing. Eating fruit roll-ups, that's all.
Really?
That's it.
Fruit roll-ups.
10 was my peak year, so I was really gearing up for some big things, but it all went downhill at about 11. So.
How old are you?
14, I was killing it.
Really? We all have a year. Yeah, I'm trying
to. 13, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get back to my 10-year-old self.
Eighth grade,
good for you. I feel like I just started killing life.
That's so good. That's great.
This week.
Eighth grade's the best it's going to get.
I was really, fifth grade for me was the tops. Eighth grade, I had a second peak, but it wasn't. And then I started having sex and everything went downhill. And now I'm trying to come out of that penis phase and be like, I can have myself again.
You went boy crazy, Stacey.
I went boy crazy and I lost myself. And I will say, if we're going to treat boy crazy as mental illness in and of itself, as you know, we can call it other things too. But, you know, I think that what I was operating on top of, and how successful I've been despite just being boy crazy, has been a great feat. And so I look forward to seeing
how much
what
you can accomplish when you're not,
if I'm just focused on myself,
fiending for that
dick. I'm just not living for the D. But fifth grade, I was a champion. I'm 28 now, is the answer.
Okay.
But I'll be 29 in July. I'll be 29 in July, so clocks are ticking.
Clock is ticking.
Yeah, but I would definitely say you need to start putting out some YouTube content.
For sure.
Well, I know. I mean,
the world's ready for Sarah or more.
Well, are you nervous?
Well, here's the thing, okay? So I've put out some content. I went to film school, and part of the work of being in film school is like you make these videos, you put them out, you put them up, right? Your mom needs to see them. And it was before YouTube was a thing that people were like, I don't think Bieber had been out yet when I was doing this.
Oh, really?
It was like 2006 and 2007, right? So like,
Biebs.
I was making videos, you know, and putting them out there. And I think what's happened now is that like, whenever I start to think about creating web content, like not even TV shows specifically. Like, I'm not as blocked around writing like a pilot or like a film. But when it comes to web content, I feel so just like I feel like I don't have anything to add to the conversation. Like, I don't want to make something because my career could really use it or like people want to hear from me. But like, I don't, you know, when I look at YouTube videos that already exist, it's kind of like, you know, who am I? You know, and I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of, you know.
And yet you get on stage.
Well, right.
And say your point of view all the time.
I could say that about what you do. Like, yeah, but been said before.
Yeah, but here's
maybe.
The thing. What I'm doing, and this is where I struggle. I was telling you, this is where I struggle in my comedy career as well, which is that I have a really hard time locking down content. Like my when I'm at my best, when I am the best Sarah comic in flow state that exists, I show up and I am, you know, I hate to sound like this. I feel like I sound like a Louise Hay book, but I'm like sharing authentically and I'm shining my light and I'm just funny. Like, I'm funny. And
you're
so,
just going up there and you're in the zone.
Totally.
You're not even like necessarily prepared.
Right.
You're just going.
And I may have ideas about what I want to say, and I may have jokes that I've written that I'm throwing in that things continue to come back.
That's a beautiful thing, Sarah.
Totally. But it's really limiting in terms of, you know, I don't have to commit to any content really. I mean, even now I'm trying to make tapes for like submissions for things and I'm like, what is the set? And I'm like, angels, please tell me what the set is. And then you can figure it out. But even then I look at the content and I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is so juvenile. And I guess I just get so frustrated because I want to be
so
much better than I am.
You should find a happy balance because it's such a great thing to go up on stage and do. I did that last night finally because I've been trying to tape for NACA, which I know you've been doing. Which is the college tape. So you have to do clean. It has to really be precise. And I did it for 2 months trying to get this tape. And last night, finally, I could just be free. I just went up with concepts and I had the best time.
Wow.
Just talking, like not even, you know, having punchlines, just going. But it's good. I think it's good to have both.
Right. Absolutely.
And in terms of YouTube, just set up the camera, Sarah. Talk.
Yeah, it's so. Go. I feel like it's so much easier because you're just like, you could literally say whatever the fuck you want. Like, I don't have like a script that I follow either. Like, if like I just put out a video about fucking the Caitlyn Jenner thing, and I had no real like notes.
You
just
put that up. I should watch it.
I just had an opinion, and I was like,
I mean, you should have called
it.
Me over. I could have totally done that with
Shut
you.
Shut the fuck up. So you just put the camera on and you just start fucking going. I mean, I keep like guidelines so I stay on track, like hit these points.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, I'm just improving the whole thing and just kind of just going.
Sarah, you just got to do it.
Oh my
Especially
God.
Because like
oh
if you're
Take
funny,
the plunge.
If you're funny and you know you're funny, then you're like, why would you even look up if this shit exists? Like, mine's going to be funnier than this anyway.
I think I have this really, I think because I have a formal education in content production, I have some kind of like weird
maybe
judgment and blah. Like, if like in my I'm like, oh, if when I put out content, it will be this way and it will be highly produced and feel really awesome.
But
and,
that's been done,
you know, right? But also, talking head videos have been done, like,
right,
it's all been done. I'm kind of just like, nothing,
just do it
I'm
and
just,
trust.
I suck,
Sarah. You need to have faith that your point of view, even if you choose a topic that's been discussed a million times,
right,
that your point of view is still different enough, even if 400 people listen. That's a lot of people.
Right.
So just you are making excuse after excuse to, as to why to not put it out. And it's linked to this perfectionistic thing going on. Just do
it. Well, it's so ego.
Like Nike
it's
says,
like,
just do
well,
it.
Like, I want someone, like, if you're going to look me up, I want it to be like, oh my God, she's like so amazing. But then I don't feel so amazing. So then I don't make anything because, you know.
Sarah, I will come over to your house, set up that goddamn camera.
And I'll just talk.
And be behind it. And you can just
do you
have someone in the room.
Do you think you're funny?
Oh, I know I'm funny.
Oh, right. She's funny.
I'm funny.
I think I'm fucking hilarious. So, like, I'll make a video and be like, yeah, whatever. This is cool. It's fine.
Right.
Totally fine.
Yeah, but we
but
all
there's
don't...
times I put out a video, I'm like, this fucking blows.
Oh, why?
What?
Hold on. Is this an interesting conversation? Am I bringing a lot to the table?
I want to start talking about the other thing, too. So
you have a fanny pack. I want to talk about that.
Oh, I love my fanny pack.
Oh, yeah. Is everything cool, Andy?
It will be in a sec.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Our energy exploded the system.
Yep.
Oh,
what's
my
up,
God.
Dude? That's my friend Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
This is Kate.
Excited to have you on next.
And Sarah.
No, you're totally right. I mean, I do just need to make stuff. It's just what happens is, like, even when I sit down to start to have ideas, like, my ideas get so big. Like, then I'm like, oh my God, this is what it is. And then I'm like, oh, and there's
you
a microsite where it lives
and
on. And, like, I get, like, I think really, really big. Like,
yeah, I don't care. Like, me, I'm like, I have zero production value in any of my videos. It's
right.
Just me and my fucking basement.
And people just like you.
That's all that I
You know
care
what? While
about.
They're fixing it, let me show you one of his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's perfect.
Oh, good God. I hate watching this in front of me.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah, but that
is right, though. Can I pick one?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you're going to pick an old one. We'll do there's only like a handful of videos that I actually like that I would show to people.
Just pick one.
How to sext.
Oh, good.
It's not typically what I do. There's like a whiteboard involved, but.
Oh, cool.
Can we at least try saving it first? I know it's going to look better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot out of the conversation.
Really?
I don't give a shit if your phone can transform into a hooker from Singapore and give me a top notch foot job.
It's a lot.
I don't give a shit. Just grab
to lose.
A phone, Jesus.
Wait, what happened? They lost the whole thing?
I think so.
A private area.
So, what are we going to do?
You know, it's like your room.
Just start over.
Or like the bathroom, something with a locked door.
Jesus
in
Christ.
It says
40
iOS
minutes.
HJ, which isn't the new iPhone update. It's not like an extended
We were 26 minutes in.
I know, but I'm saying we're not going to do a fucking an hour.
Like
you
oh, I know.
Touching your shit during sexing. All right.
So, we'll do like a half hour, 35 minutes?
No, we have to do at least 40.
40 minutes. Shane. It's not me.
Who is it?
Oh.
732-723-718.
It's Rahway.
Rahway
and Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Rahway.
I know who that is.
It might be my kid. I don't think it is, though. Cause
your kid's calling you?
No.
You don't have your kid's number?
Here. Sorry.
What's love got to do? Got to do with it.
Here's a common misconception that guys have, okay? You can't just start a random sexting session with a surprise dick pic. No surprise dick pics. It's sexting. Keyword sex. So it's like sex. There's got to be some foreplay. You can't just start waving your dick around. The same thing goes for
you're
when
so
you're
stupid.
Actually sexting. You can't just bring out the freaky shit in the first 5 minutes. So start slow. Like, Jesus, can we talk about kissing before we get into your foot fetish? Thank you. You got to warm up to that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I want to warm up.
Warm up before a game. You can't just go out there and fucking ball. That's how you get injured. So start slow. Warm up. Also, make sure you know the person that you're sexting.
My shins
don't be
hurt.
Blind mating.
They still hurt?
Called screenshot.
Why?
You look like the biggest
good question.
You gotta ice him. Get the fucking Dixie cups.
They left a message. It's someone.
It's your son. Pick it up, you
no,
asshole.
It's a school system.
What the fuck's that mean?
Trust me.
Kate, can we hear it? Play it.
But I get it. That was a cute video, right? Like, it's just like you being funny, talking about something.
Yeah, it's like a... It's like
go to field day, will you?
Go to field
it's field day.
Day.
I didn't know school's called, people.
I don't do
people.
Field days.
Field day. I hated field day. I used to hate field day. Oh,
kidding me?
God.
That was my shit.
I fucking faked an injury every time. Shit. I'm like always been.
You
want to
hear something about
though.
Field day?
Yes.
First grade, right? When I was younger, tremendous. I mean, I'm an athlete, right? But when I was younger, I was like a fucking prodigy. I was just way ahead of my time. First grade, we did the softball throw. And I was in first grade, and the fifth graders went first. They threw the balls. And me in first grade, I threw the ball farther than fucking everyone there.
That's wonderful.
And the kid goes, you stepped over the line. I got fucking disqualified, and I cried so
oh.
hard. And there's a ton of people there, parents, and I'm just crying.
Oh.
It was fucking terrible. And my teacher, she gave me a card on my birthday that had a ribbon in it that said, like, your first place. Like, it was like...
Oh, flirty.
No.
Oh.
She was old. I was young.
Well.
It would have never
is it,
worked
is
out.
It lost,
she
guys?
Was a redhead. Do you have the ads?
We have the ads.
Well, that's the best fucking news I've heard in a long,
okay.
long time.
I'm really sorry that's
the good conversation doesn't stop at 25 minutes
can
here.
Can we start
so.
Soon? Because
you know,
absolutely.
You know what the thing is, though? I mean, worst comes to worst, we can pull the audio from the TriCaster. It won't sound.
You can also edit in like
oh,
a video if I'm like
fine.
When we watch
I
now.
Mean, that actually would work. If you, we have the audio from the computer, so we can clean that up and kind of like piece together. So if you kind of remember what you were talking about. You can say
okay.
what happened and
just
want to
do that?
Yeah.
There.
Okay.
Fuck
like it.
Yeah. So let me eject this.
Is that cool to do? To use it from?
Absolutely. That's fine.
It's good enough?
Yeah.
Quality?
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck we were talking
yeah,
about.
Our podcast
YouTube.
Last week we used the audio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. So that's
what. Awesome. And you? Do you want me to remind you that through an email, or you'll remember?
Yeah, we got it.
I'm fucking starving.
Come on.
All right. Look, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take the note you wrote. I just wrote that the ads are on there. I'll post that. Cool.
How was your callback? How was your just last callback?
All right.
It was good. It wasn't like the first one was better.
Me too.
Yeah. A lot of people said that though.
Really?
There are very few people who had a killer second one.
Wow.
And the people who did.
This kept running. You were at like 26 minutes. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we'll do like another game.
Okay.
Fucking, yeah. Right, open mics are tough, man, to watch.
Oh, yeah. Sure
yeah,
are.
He caught some of the one going on down there.
Oh, the worst.
I don't do good in those situations.
I mean, they're the absolute
That's
worst.
Why you're like, do you want to go and watch? And I was like, no.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Do I feel like wanting to die?
No.
But like something about that is funny to me. Like when the guy told a joke and he's like, "All right, no, yeah, not feeling that one. Cool, fine." And I started dying.
Yeah, it's funny for like the first, like that'll be funny for like 5 seconds.
But it's like I feel like that's funny because they stepped out of their fucking little act. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like don't fucking go up there and try to be a comedian. Just fucking just be
funny.
Just
well, that's
be.
The whole thing. That's what we're talking about, right? Like
I know but,
how to actually like create content.
Yeah.
While that also reflects your being.
Right. But it's like it's a tough thing to do. I feel like there's some videos where I'm in that fucking like I'm this person, and then the ones that are funny are the ones that I'm just like fuck it, like I don't even care and just go off about whatever.
Totally. I get that.
So like the guy when he was just like no yeah fuck it that was bad so and I was dying I was like all right that's funny.
No, that's funny. When I used to go to Mike's, when I first started, I would go with one of my good friends, and him and I would go and just be laughing the whole time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were the best.
Oh, when you can enjoy
going
the
by
badness.
Yourself, though.
Well, when you're going with an intention of like, I am going and doing my reps, it's really annoying. When you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go watch this funny shit.
And to have to sit for 2 hours just so you go up for five minutes.
If that, five, that'd be great. I would wait for 2 hours for 5 minutes. You wait for 2 hours for like a minute 30, and no one's there anymore, and then, you know. It's not that bad. You know, you gotta just do it, but it is like.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the fuck are we talking about?
YouTube. And
can we mention that stuff happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Our energy was too strong.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so sorry guys, we had to cut real quick because something happened with the technology.
Our powerful energy hurt the technology, and it's Mercury retrograde.
The whole
so that's what's
universe
going on.
Collapsed.
I don't know what the fuck any of that means.
Upon itself.
But, yeah.
The planets are in transit.
Oh, yeah. First of all, there's just an Elite Daily video that came out the other day that I was in, the horoscope one.
Oh,
right.
How was it?
And it's so funny because the questions they gave us before, it was so like, tell me what you think about horoscopes. And I guess I was the only one went in being like, they're amazing. Like, not that I think every horoscope is amazing.
Of course,
but
amazing
ones
are amazing.
I believe in astrology. But
me
then
too.
They totally changed it. The topic was like, why horoscopes are so bad or whatever it was. And they still use some of my clips, but I was like, everyone was hating on them. And I'm like, no,
awesome.
I love them.
No, so you weren't like that the whole time, though. You were saying like, I'm not going to take, you know, I'm not going to read like a fortune cookie and be like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen.
Exactly. Well, of course. So not a lot of horoscopes, like the ones in like the gossip magazines, those are not normally the people who were like,
into
really,
astrology.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, first of all, so where are the astrology? Do I have to fucking read a scroll in a cave?
No. But there are some people who really
news?
Study that
yeah,
stuff.
They're like our astrologers.
But like, where do you get that?
The internet.
Internet, bro.
How the fuck do you know that they know what they're talking about?
Well, it's...
You
it's,
can tell the ones that do and don't, and they've studied.
And it's also like the same work as anything. Like, you know,
you feel into it. That's how I do.
I mean,
can
yeah.
feel into who's bullshit and who's not.
Like the person that I follow is I follow an astrologer. She's not even really an astrologer, but this woman. Do you ever read Tosha Silver's work?
Yes.
Okay, so Tosha Silver's like my favorite, and I listen to her weekly calls. And she's an astrologer by background, and now she's just kind of a writer and talks about like living, you know, with divine openness and sort of surrendering to the universe and all that. And you know, when you hear her talk about the planets, listen, I have no idea what she's talking about. It's all sciencey to me.
Yeah.
But what she's saying resonates so
yes.
deeply. And it's not, people are like, you could say that anytime. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. What she's saying is so spot on. And I talk to enough people. Like, I'm a coach, right?
Yeah.
I talk to, you know, roughly 18 people every week about what's going on in their lives. And on a week-by-week basis, the complaints, fears, concerns, what's coming up for people is thematically incredibly similar. Now, whether that's just a reflection of myself and I'm that's just what I'm, you know, projecting into the space is one thing. But even if that is the case, it's still the conversation that I'm having with these people. And it happens to match when I listen to these astrology sort of, okay, here's what's going on with the planets. Here's what you should be expecting that aren't even about like my sign, but they're just about like, okay, here's where the planets are right now. And here's what that usually means. It's so spot on that it's alarming. That it's like, okay, well, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's way more fun if I believe that it is.
Well, then fucking every magazine and newspaper is just giving astrology a bad rep then. Because
totally.
It's all stupid.
It's bubblegum astrology.
Right.
It's like today you're creative today and have a, you know.
Right.
And you know what? Maybe there is a magazine who, one of them, that actually does go right. to a legitimate.
Yeah, that you can get fucking nowhere.
But, okay, so what I want to get to now is something, you know, Sarah and I are so into this topic. It's about these spiritual leaders who...
Of course. Everyone who was listening just went, oh, fucking
I know.
Course.
And someone actually tweeted at me. What did she say? She was like, oh, God, I'm so sick of Kate's spiritual bullshit.
Well, this is another podcast, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't your podcast,
It's about to get fucking real magical in here.
Fuck
Some
yeah.
Harry Potter.
No, but this is... Okay, this is it. And you can take it out of the spiritual world, too.
Well, because it's not just spiritual. It's like leadership.
Yes. So this is... Well, this is... Okay. So the topic, the thing that we're getting into is, can you be a spiritual leader / healer / leader, whatever it is? I think I said leader already. But
yeah, but yeah, yeah.
And what would you say?
Okay, so...
And be a little messed up.
Well, okay, let me back it up. So yeah. There's this movie, Carmageddon. That Kate recommended
it
to
sounds
me.
Like a porno featuring Carmen Electra.
It does, actually. Let's make it. Let's make it, video guy.
Carmageddon.
I'm inspired. I know what
Your
I want my first
YouTube
video to be.
Video.
I want to make a Carmageddon. But, okay, so Carmageddon, what is the guy's name?
Jeff Brown
is the filmmaker, but the...
Well, okay, so Jeff Brown is the guy who does it, but he's also an amazing author. You should
Absolutely.
Check out his stuff.
Oh,
he's amazing.
I love Jeff Brown.
Okay, so the guy, his spiritual quote-unquote guru, although he doesn't call himself a guru, is Bhagavan Das.
Okay, Bhagavan Das is this spiritual leader. We'll just say leader. We won't say guru, but he's a guru. Okay, but he's a spiritual leader, and he trained under, I'm going to get the name wrong.
Neem Karoli Baba.
And who's the guy that wrote Be Here Now?
Ram Dass.
Okay. So Shish Kebab Ram Dass. No. Ram Dass wrote this book, Be
Pemdas.
Here Now, that in our like parents' generation was like the text on spirituality.
It is. Everyone,
it
listen
is
to
the
me.
Book.
Be Here Now. Get it.
It's the book, and it actually is the book, and it's the mantra, and like that is kind of like the whole point of becoming an actualized adult, right? Like we're all
yes.
trying to stay present and like blah blah. Okay. So his protege was this guy. What is the guy's name?
So Neem Karoli Baba. Let me paint the picture. So Neem Karoli Baba is this.
You guys are painting the picture way too much. Just listen.
Neem Karoli Baba.
We're gonna need a flow chart to
go.
No with
one
this
knows what the fuck you're
just
saying.
Just listen.
I don't even know. Who's
just listen.
Shikita Baba.
Neem Karoli Baba is an amazing saint guy that like pretty much whoever studied under him was like real deal. Ram Dass studied under him.
Right.
Ram Dass is the man. Now, Bhagavan Das also studied under him, but he's got some shit.
Right. And so this filmmaker, Jeff Brown, did this documentary about Bhagavan Das where he basically accidentally exposes him as a total fucking douchebag. So he's this spiritual leader. He goes on these world tours. He's a kirtan chanting expert. People go. They're giving their He is this vessel to which people are able to connect to source, to spirit, their divine selves through, right? And so Jeff Brown does this documentary where he lives with him and he gets really close to this guy, and you find out that this guy is stealing from him. He's trying to fuck his girlfriend. This guy's a total pervert. He tries to fuck young girls everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally catcalling. Imagine a guy in like spiritual garb.
Like dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks, a beard to his ankles, wearing a fucking dress, being like, ooh, I want to finger your dirty pussy. You know what I mean? Like, really? And not even just cat, like, dirty cat calling. Like,
you just said finger your dirty pussy. That's pretty dirty.
Dirty, right? So this is a spiritual leader. And so the question...
Finger your dirty pussy. Does he actually say that?
Well, no, but a pirate...
Yeah, that was from Sarah, well, but it's close.
You're paraphrasing. It's totally fine.
I had a friend on spring break said that exact line by a guy. We went to Orlando, and he played Jackson Cat
Sparrow. At least he's setting the standards low for how clean her vagina is.
Jack Sparrow asked her if he could finger her dirty pussy, and it stuck with me.
Bigger, damn. Bigger, you know, better question. Did he finger her dirty pussy?
He absolutely did.
That's all that counts.
So, Jesus.
YOLO. You know what I mean?
We're going spring break.
I bet you Jesus was the real deal. BT dubs.
But like...
I guess we don't know.
He didn't finger anyone's dirty pussy, though.
I think he might have actually...
Fingered dirty pussy.
...been with Mary... Not whatever her name... there was a
Mary
girl.
Magdalene.
Was it Mary Magdalene?
She was like a hooker?
That was his partner,
She might not have even been a hooker, but yeah, I think they were actually partners.
Yeah. He had a partner.
Yeah.
It was Mary...
And she was probably just as dope as he was.
Jesus is getting
Goddess, mad
post.
Divine feminine.
But like, if you found out that Jesus had an affair or like was fucking someone else, would that all of a sudden... That's what we're talking about. Like, does that invalidate him as Jesus?
So if Jesus had like a meth addiction,
right? If you found out Jesus was on amphetamines,
no, he's Jesus.
It would affect I wouldn't become judgmental.
I'd still buy his chains.
Here's the thing: being a human is complicated.
Right.
It's hard. So I'm not saying you can't be a human and be spiritual. Yeah, you can be spiritual and a human, but I think I don't want to say to be a leader, but to be a healthy leader or to be someone who's really able to...
It's like between leading... There's a difference between leading and like preaching. And so it's like when you're going to preach...
I don't think so.
You have to...
I'm going to disagree with you guys now.
Yeah, say it. Speak.
Because you do that for a living, right? Life coach, you do the preaching sort of.
Well, but so I don't...
In a way, but you don't believe... Yes. You said that you don't take your own advice.
Well, right. So that's my whole conflict that I'm having right now
in my
life.
What's the difference between that?
Well, that's what we're asking.
That's the question. Like, am I invalid because of how deeply human I am?
I don't think so, because all you have to do is unlock a certain thought in someone's mind, and then they'll be on their way.
Right, so it's actually not my job to be perfect. It's my job to
know what
bring
to do.
People forward into their own
that's
greatness,
it.
Right? And so that's a job of a leader, period, right? The job of a leader, by definition, is not someone who tells everyone what to do, but it's someone who unlocks other people's greatness, right? Like, if I'm leading, that's what my hope is, that all the people around me are able to access this greater part of themselves.
But when someone is an unhealed person, meaning their ego is getting in the way, they, you know, are misogynistic, their stuff's in there. And it doesn't mean that they can't shine light.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, you can't say that, because that would mean 100% of the people that 100% of them is in, like 100% of people who are, let's say, misogynistic, blah, blah, blah. And they're preaching that's always in there.
Well,
which isn't true, because there's people who definitely do it.
No, it also assumes that they're wrong. Like, that's the big question about the documentary. So the fact that this guy was such a pervert was a big question mark, right? Because how could he be so... I mean, unhealed doesn't cover it, right? If we're talking about it on, like, a psychological level, this guy has serious
issues. He seems a bit mentally ill.
Mentally ill. Serious issues that he actually... isn't confronting. At the end of the documentary, you find out that he's been drinking the whole time. At the end of the documentary, you find out that he had been in therapy and had been working on a lot of stuff around his anger about his mother and his father.
What's the film called?
Yeah.
Carmageddon.
Oh, Carmageddon. Okay. It's our porn.
I would love for you to watch it, actually, and tell me what you think.
I'll watch it.
But so, like, he comes out with all of these truths about himself, and he actually, at the end, does seem a little bit more centered and grounded, and he's sort of sharing, like,
he's
hey,
a little more honest.
He's honest. That's what it is. He's honest.
But see, that's where I think it comes in. And I'm not saying, like Joe, I'm not saying that it will always come out on the person. But there is something a little bit dangerous, sometimes a lot of bit dangerous, about that kind of person. Honestly, I think a lot of cult leaders even display that, where they're very tapped in, but they can be misleading to people who are following them.
Well, because there's a difference between being tapped in and leading versus manipulating. And so, like, Bhagavan Das is actually manipulating people around him. And so then when you hear the conversation...
Because his shit's in there.
Right. And so he's... And then you feel bad for him. Like, because, you know, I don't know. It was so fucking
unless they know that what the mistakes they make, they're doing them wrong. If they know that, then it's just... That's just a
human
thing.
But I think a lot of these people are lying to themselves.
Listen,
and that's what's dangerous.
But listen, when we do bad things, we know we're not supposed to do them. It would be bad if you didn't know and you're like, this is, you know, they, you just do it not knowing that how this affects other people, blah, 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 all that. But these people clearly know the mistakes that they're making.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
So they're able to
in the spiritual conversation. And again, like, I am no expert, okay? I'm just starting to have these conversations.
Girl, speak it.
But isn't the whole point that, like, in the context of spirituality, there actually is no right or wrong, that there's this sort of you know, what is that Rumi quote? I'm going to get it wrong, but it's like there's that space beyond judgment, or that space beyond right and wrong, where humanity just exists.
Well, it's really all, yes, it's all choice, and everything's actually in the gray, right?
Right.
But yes, that's true. So you're and Bhagavan Das, he's not right or wrong. He's just being himself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
However, when it comes to someone who's a spiritual leader, and still, you can be a spiritual leader and have your shit. That's quote unquote fine. But you can tell when someone is actually a healthy, sensitive, feeling person. I just feel like that's the person you really want the guidance from.
Absolutely.
It's like same with the therapist, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to go to a therapist who's a child molester.
Right.
Like,
right,
their
right,
shit
right.
can affect you. Maybe what? Maybe not. Maybe you could go to a therapist who's an alcoholic and all they do is help you.
Right.
And their shit doesn't wear off on you.
Right.
But it could.
Well, that's the big question. I mean,
of course it could, but I feel like it's much easier to give advice than to follow it and
right.
take your own advice.
No, absolutely.
But if you know,
but I'd rather go to a person who's also walking the walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's how someone has something. No one is doing everything right.
Indeed.
But I know, and look, okay. So
well, then it's like gets to a degree thing. So that's the real question. Like, so if Bhagavan...
And it's honesty. It's,
just
it's
don't
how
murder.
Conscious
that's
they
it.
Are.
Don't murder, and I'll fucking listen to you if you have a good point.
I don't know. I feel like because Sarah and I, you know, are into this whole spiritual world, I've become much more sensitive to the spiritual people who feel healthy versus the ones who feel toxic. And it does
Absolutely.
Feel like there's a difference.
Absolutely. And here's my question. Okay, so Joey,
but if
I'm
you
not...
didn't know that, would you feel that?
What do you mean?
If you didn't know beforehand.
Well...
Like, this person had his shit. How surprised were you when you found out about Bhagavan Cox, whatever the fuck his name
Bhagavan
is? And you're like, and then you're like, oh my God, this guy does this? Now we're having this conversation. We would have never had this conversation.
Well, that's the
if
whole
you didn't
question.
Know.
I mean, even
so
like,
he can clearly do it if you guys didn't expect that at all.
Right. And even like when you look at politics, I mean, if you talk about like Bill Clinton and his blowjob, like, did it actually matter that he got blown by a bunch of interns? Actually, no.
First of all,
one intern. Right, in his
yes.
Bro,
and also what
leader
we were talking,
of the free world, you deserve a couple.
Oh my gosh, shut up!
But see, like that actually is an opinion.
It's
like
true.
Like
you can't get a blowjob. Who's
you're
not
cheating? Get a divorce
hey,
and then get blowjobs.
Agreed.
If I'm running the country, I'm getting a blowjob
from your wife.
Here's the thing, though.
If
I
don't want
divorce.
It to be my wife, I'm getting a blowjob. You can pay for it.
I agree.
You didn't have to
with both of you, actually. Like. I agree, get a divorce. I hope I don't get cheated on. But also, on a, like, I also understand the difference between, like, how, like I've seen examples of, you know, men experiencing sex as really nothing but that, or as them acting out some power trip, or, like, it's actually not about their wives. And while it's, again, that's unhealthy, that's unhealed, that's someone who's not actually committed in their relationship, I actually also see that as just, like, a human accident, like, or
yeah.
making a, even, like, okay, so in the documentary, okay, tell me what you think, Joe. This is, okay, so you don't know anything that's going on, right? He's a
nope.
spiritual healer. He's a spiritual leader. He is a teacher of divine actualization, okay? I literally don't even know what that means. I'm just kidding. Okay, but so he steals things from people. So one of the teachings of the divine, so something that I teach my clients, something that I, part of what I'm not practicing because my ego is so big is like actually this idea of non-attachment. So there's this idea that like stuff, physical stuff or human achievement is sort of inconsequential, right? Like you're just a being on this planet. And so like, you know, this shirt is material. If this shirt burns up in flames, I still exist, right? I
mm-hmm.
don't need this shirt to be me. I am
mm-hmm.
centered and whole in myself. And so the spiritual work, and whether I become a famous comedian or I never coach again or I become a famous doctor or whatever, right? It actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever I do is what I'm gonna do, right? And so things don't matter. Achievements don't matter. But this guy's stealing from people's homes, right? So people are letting him into their home and he's stealing from them. And then when he's confronted with it, the conversation is, I felt divinely guided to take this photo. Like, he stole a very special photo yes. from this woman. I felt divinely guided to take this photo. And what's up with her being so attached to this photo?
No, you know what he is? He's a psychopath making excuses.
Well, right. So that's the thing. He's clearly a psychopath well, making that's, excuses.
You know what that is?
He's like, it's like punching someone in the face and being like, you're welcome. I taught you how to handle well, so your manipulative. Anger. It's manipulative.
Right, exactly.
It's not...
It is, and... But I don't think that should take away from what is everything else he has to fucking offer. Because you could be a shitty person, but still...
Be a good teacher.
You still be a good teacher.
Right. Well, okay, let's take Albert Einstein. I have no idea. He might have been the most amazing man. I'm just saying...
Sorry.
He could have been also doing a lot of shady shit, but it doesn't take away from what he gave to the world. And then the right. other thing we were talking about was
well,
I watched Selma.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King, you watch it and you're like, okay, he's one of the most amazing men ever. You know what I mean? Like, he was willing to die for this great cause.
Amazing.
He knew he was probably going to die for it. He went about the movement in such an amazing way. You know, he
I mean,
really...
A genius.
And yet, he was cheating on his wife a lot. And there's a scene in the movie where she, you know, confronts him and she talks to him about how much it's tearing her up. And also the fact that she's like, hey, like, I'm already in a position where our kids are getting death threats. We're getting death threats. And on top of it, you're sleeping with other women. You know what I mean? And she's like, can you at least tell me, do you love them? You know, and you could just see the pain she's in. And it made me think like, huh, does this affect how I feel about who he was as a person? And it's like, it can't take away from all the good he did. He fucking did so much good.
Absolutely.
But it did change my opinion a bit of, hey, like, that's kind of fucked up that you were putting your wife through
but
that.
But come on, man. Everyone does something.
I'm not like, saying.
All right, but why should that change your
perfect.
Opinion? That has
because,
nothing to do with what he fucking did.
Because
he's kind of
he's dragging his wife down into his shit. He's not being honest.
Who cares?
Well, that's the question. It's like. And then, right, first of all, it's who cares? Because, right, at the end of the day, we still revere him. And does it change the way I think about him? Yes, but not even necessarily in a bad way, but it does just change my...
And where's the limit then? I'm being serious. Like, okay, what if I told you...
I don't think there is a limit. This is what I think.
Okay, so listen, what if you found out he was, like, taking his dick out and, like...
Don't care.
He was
a child molester.
What if he was a child molester?
Well... I mean, that's a...
But
yeah,
we're
to
asking,
you, that's where your boundary
is. We're asking
where
the...
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
We're saying where's the limit?
If he's a child molester, but he, you know, did a lot of great things and whatever.
For sure.
I don't know. It's hard to explain. But I'll tell you one thing. There have been nights where I'm just on the computer and all of a sudden I will start watching interviews from inmates.
Oh, yeah, I love
people
those.
People who have murdered.
Hell
people
yeah.
who have done these crazy crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the shit they say is very useful.
Totally.
And unlocks things in your mind, and you just take that and go. But you don't sit there and go, he's a murderer, so this is bullshit. Like, no, he's a murderer. Yeah, he's a fucking psycho. And who cares? Maybe he doesn't fuck his wife. He cheats on his wife, whatever. And he fucking drowns his kid in tubs. But he said that thing, he had that thought, he said that thing, and that was useful. And that was good. And I'll take that, and you can have the fucking rest of it.
Well, that's the thing. So
but I'm taking this with me.
That's, I think, part of what the documentary kind of came to, which was that, like, at the end of the day, our job as individuals is, like, to take the good and leave the bad, or to take the good and grow from the bad. And so
exactly.
inherently, all of these people, all people are going to have faults and are going to have human error. And I think it's just a matter of how, like, you know, how it relates to your life. Like, should, like, MLK's wife, should she have left him? If you're married to this
one of the greatest leaders of all time.
One of the greatest leaders of all time. You are now responsible for raising his children.
Yep.
And supporting this cause, right? Her marriage to him is not just about her and her feelings. She's actually supporting this
cause.
And he,
if
as
she had
this
divorced
leader,
and left him, it would have fucked up the image.
A million, it would have fucked up the image. And you know what? Who knows? Men cheating have nothing to do with women. When men cheat, it has to do with their own shit. It has to do with their own insecurity, their own ego, their own animal desires that, truthfully, we don't understand. I'm not saying that I condone cheating or that I think it's right.
You're saying that we don't understand it as a woman.
We don't understand as women. And I think when women cheat, there's probably other justifiable reasons, too. I think that everything is justifiable. I get why people kill other people. I don't think it's right. But I can hear your case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, right. So that's my big question. Like, as you know, at what point in leadership, and I'll talk about it. We can talk about it more later.
But I know, I'm like, Sarah, we're talking tonight.
I know, so much to talk about. But, you know, at what point in your life, as you move forward into, I mean, even in like organizations, say you're working for a company and you find out that I've worked for clubs that have had total scumbag managers, total scumbag owners. I have been sexually harassed by so many people. I worked at a restaurant once where I was sexually harassed, and they actually asked me to not make, like, they pressured me to not like claim it as sexual harassment because of the headache it would be for all of them, right? So, you know, there's all these levels of corruption. There's corruption everywhere. At what point, you know, are you like, oh, this is just what it is, and it's my spiritual growth to see this dysfunction and just choose something different for myself and not judge that person? Or are you like, cut and run, these people are crazy?
This is what I think. Okay, I think when it directly affects you, that's when you're in control.
Right, you choose your experience.
Get the fuck out of there. If it's me, happening to me, I'm out. Right. Like, whatever, I'll give a fuck.
Yeah, it's like you don't judge. You don't judge the person. You're not like, oh, I'm better than you. You go, huh. But if it's affecting you negatively, choice.
Right.
But if it's just it's happening to someone else, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, this person's a terrible person. Like, whatever. Like, Martin Luther King, he could have fucking murdered people. Like, whatever. But he still said great things that will fucking echo.
And that needed to be heard. And he needed to lead that conversation.
Right.
And so he did.
And you know what he does, you know, other than that is, you know, his thing. He didn't murder me or Eddie, like, you know what I mean? Like, right. It didn't directly affect me. So it's like you look from afar. I'm not a police officer. I don't enforce the law. So it has nothing to do with me. It's like, you know, you just take the good and leave the bad.
So then, like, the question is, though, then who do you trust? Like, what does it mean to trust? Like, what does it mean to...
Well, that's in
and
your
what
control.
Do we trust
I think
in?
For me, I want to be around people who are, I mean, authentic.
Right.
You know, because I don't expect perfection from a person, and I don't expect pure truth because most people don't even know their own
truth.
They're
in their own filter.
They're in their own. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
But for me, I like to be around people who are as honest with themselves as they can be.
Totally.
You know, I don't expect perfection, but I like to be around people who aren't being led by ego where they're pretending they're perfect
or pretending they're better than you. So an awareness of you know, where their faults
be
are.
Own your shit.
Right. And that was
if you
with
think
this.
You're perfect and that your shit doesn't smell, that's already a red flag.
But it was so interesting in the documentary because the guy, so there was this one scene where he is leading this kirtan chanting workshop, and there's this hot blonde, and she is like, I'm the biggest fan, oh my god, I'm so in love with you. And he's like, I'm in love with you too. He doesn't know her. And he's like, if you want to come with me to like Bali or wherever he was going, like, you're welcome to join me, right? And she and her parents were there at this thing. And she's like, oh my god, I really, really want to. That's so exciting. And she's like, let me just double check with my parents. So she double checked with their parents, and the father goes up to whatever his name is, and he's like, listen, my daughter can go, but I just want to be really clear, like, she's not fucking you. Like, she my daughter can go and train, but like, if I just want to be really straightforward, like, I'm unclear about your intentions, and like, you're not fucking my daughter. And the daughter echoed him and was like, oh no, we're not gonna fuck, like, I don't want to fuck, we don't want to fight each other, we're on a spiritual journey. And what was his name, I keep getting
Bhagavan Das
was like, oh no, I'm here to fuck you, you're not invited anymore.
Yeah, he's like, if you're not gonna spread your legs, you're not coming on tour.
Literally said something, it was like as vulgar as
that's what he
it
says.
Was like, if you don't want to spread
he was
legs.
Like, well, he was going on a mad rant though where he was like, this girl expects me to pay for her, take her with me on tour, and she's not gonna spread her legs for me.
It was so gross. It was like this disgusting, like,
very misogynistic rant
and just like so off, like this is expected of me, but you don't want to fuck. And it's like, that's not even what he invited her for, you know, like, it was just like she owed it to him to fuck him.
Yeah.
And
well, I can see how someone in that his stature in that community where he's kind of like a celebrity, that he would just kind of expect
absolutely
that shit.
Right, so that's the thing, like, you kind of get it. Yeah, I heard him out. He had been married and then married again while he was already married. Like, this guy has no reverence for, like, he doesn't have, his basis for human relationships is really off, right? So he's off. He is telling the truth about his intentions. And so it was so interesting because they did this interview with the parents.
At least he's doing that, though.
Well, that's the thing. They did this interview with the parents, and the parents, Jeff Brown's like, okay, so what did you think of that? And the parents, they both had the same opinion, which was like, well, here's the thing. At first, it was incredibly upsetting. We spent a lot of time hating this man. hating this man that we have followed. We spent time cursing him. We've stopped being religious. We completely said, fuck God, fuck the divine. This is total bullshit. And then what the parents were actually like evolved enough to say as well, what the father had realized is like it brought up a lot of his stuff and a lot of his feelings about what it means to be a man or what it means to be a father or control or protection or what he expects of people. Like it brought up all of these questions for him where he actually got more connected to his own story. He took it to therapy. He got his own healing work done. And so then they were coming out of this experience being like, this was such a great experience. We valued so much from his truth, even though it upset us, it actually was required for our healing.
But that was on them. That they, you can take any experience in life, any heartbreak, death, and you can choose what direction you're going to go,
right,
and what lesson you're going to get from it. So right, that was on them. That doesn't,
right, he,
that doesn't excuse
that incident.
Bhagavan Das's really gross behavior.
Absolutely.
And,
right,
and
right,
once again, it's fine because he does say a lot of poignant, great things. But as Jeff Brown even comes to conclusion in the thing, he's like, he gets him, he almost forgives him, but he doesn't want to be around him.
Well, right. You
and
don't,
that's
right,
not
exactly.
And it's fine. If some people can pick him as a spiritual leader still and get a lot out of him, that's fine. But I, for me and my own choice, you know, I want to go towards someone who actually feels healed.
Totally.
And it doesn't have their shit getting in the way.
Totally.
But maybe he doesn't have shit. Maybe that's just like him, like, this kind of just what I want to do.
But see, I kind of agree with Joe. Like,
maybe he's just like, yo, fuck it. This is like, this is what everyone's thinking. Like, this, I'm just going to say it.
Well, because here's the thing. His shit is what it is. Like, even if...
Like, it's not right. You know what I mean? It's not right. But he, like, at the end of the day, if a hot blonde walks up to me, I'm like, oh, you want to come with me to Peru? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm going to fuck you there. That's going to be sick.
Well, because at the end of the day,
and
like,
she's like, no. He's like, all right, well, never mind.
Animal instincts, his instinct to behave like that is what it is. So, like, is the responsible thing for him to be like, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm a fucked up person? Or is it to be, like, I think maybe the third option is, like, I'm going to heal and I'm going to live by a certain moral code. But actually what he did was say, I don't care, this is this sort of, I'm right, embracing this,
who,
you know,
I am.
He sees himself as an irregular, having an irregular life experience. He sees himself as being, you know, like, what do I want to say, like, that's his truth. His truth is that his animal instinct is to fuck 19-year-old blondes. You know, I'm not, I wouldn't hang out with him either. I'm not attracted to him. I don't condone the behavior. But, you know, what is more responsible, to own your truth or to just hide under this guise of perfection?
No, absolutely. But there's once again, you don't hide your truth. You don't suppress your truth. His actions are almost coming from a suppressed truth.
Right.
It's coming from a vulnerability and insecurity, right, and he talks about that. He's like, do you know what it feels like to be rejected by all these people? Blah, 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 blah. So it's actually not coming. He's almost lying by being like, this is just my animal instinct.
Right.
It's not,
it's
just,
not, it's about something,
it's
else.
It's something else that he's actually, yeah, riding over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what's happening.
And that's what we were talking about before.
But
like, you
maybe
don't actually get to skip a step. Well, right.
He's
but
trying to,
but,
no, he's trying to skip a step because you can still have those urges. I'm not asking him to not be a human and not be a man. I know a lot of men, they see a hot blonde walk by and they're like, oh my God. But does, right, that mean you catcall them, you objectify them, you put your shit onto them?
No,
it's,
but is
coming,
it putting shit, or is it him just, he's just a shitty guy?
Right. And or like, is there a woman that likes that? Like, that's the thing. Like, all the fucked up things that exist within us, whether it's that we're healed or unhealed, like, okay, maybe he actually has, like, a mommy issue that he has to work out, or maybe he has
some
issue.
And maybe he doesn't, you know?
Right, but regardless, like, even if, like, whether, right, he also might not, and that just might be his animal instinct. Like, whatever the case may be, he exists in that way and is as healed as he is. And, like, you know,
well, there's no right or wrong. It's really
there's no
just,
right or wrong.
Well, it's stages of evolution. He's in his stage, and it's going to keep going for lifetime to lifetime. And it's like, so you don't judge it, but you, once again, as Joe said, you make a choice whether or not you want to be around it and whether it's healthy or toxic for you.
Totally.
And the last thing, I know we have to wrap up. When he interviews Ram Dass at the end, because Ram Dass to me is real deal dude. And,
yes. Oh, he was amazing.
He's amazing. And
and you can so tell
knows,
the difference.
Yes. And he knows Bhagavan Dass personally. And he literally, I'm not going to get the phrase 100% correctly, but he said something like, you have to be accountable on all planes of existence.
Absolutely.
It can't just be the spiritual. You want to be, you know, in the spiritual, in the psychological, and he goes through it.
Well, it's like spiritual, psychological, physical, emotional. Yes,
exactly. And that's where and you don't have to be. Being a human being is such a complex state of being. You're not supposed to be perfect. You can be whatever you are, you know, who cares? But once again, Bhagavan Das was masquerading as a spiritual leader. And that's why Ram Das is saying it can be a little more dangerous, because that's when you almost become a cult leader and you can accidentally
the rules change
mislead.
All of a sudden. Yes. The human, what is actually acceptable.
People
right.
are like, help me. You have people who are wanting guidance and help. And if you go to someone who's going to manipulate and misguide you
and fuck your daughter,
but that's still once again on you. Exactly. To walk away from that person.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying.
You can't heal the entire world. You can only control who you
maybe
let in and
just
out.
Have an uglier daughter. And this wouldn't fucking happen.
Thank you.
Marry
words
down.
Words of wisdom.
Marry down.
We do have to wrap up.
All right, all right.
We can talk about this all day.
Sarah, where can they find you?
You can go to sararmour.com.
Twitter?
My name, SARAARMOUR.com. Or Twitter. Or, yeah, Facebook, Twitter. I'm just like all
She's
over
everywhere.
The interwebs.
She's
I'm
everywhere.
All over the interwebs.
And hopefully YouTube videos coming soon.
And YouTube videos coming soon. Oh, and I'm headlining Caroline's on July 7th. So please come. I don't know if anyone's going to actually come. But, oh, am I allowed to say that because it's stand-up New York?
No, I was just saying that's awesome.
Yeah, you're saying that's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm really excited. Yeah, I mean, I hope it's good. You know, I'm just going to try to
She's going
to
kill.
I'm going to let the angel speak through me and shit, but...
It's cool. You won't bomb. It's fine. You won't. Don't think about it.
No, she's stellar. She's a boss on stage.
Thanks, baby.
She's got it.
Let's hope. So yeah, please come.
Yeah.
27th.
If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, it's @JoeSantagato and Kate.
@TheKateWolf. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.